Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Monday afternoon, and I'm going to take the opportunity to do the Haftarah, take a look at the Haftarah, which again, as I mentioned last week, is being sponsored by a very good friend, one of my favorite people, Yisrael Markowitz. It's in memory of his folks, Tzvi Ari ben Shlomo Nissen. Well, let me say, Tzvi Ari ben Harav Shlomo Nissen, and Yaakov Zachari ben Harav Shlomo Nissen, and then his mom, Bailis Basi Rachmiel, who passed away not long ago. Okay, as he puts it over here, they're all part of the fabric of Baltimore for 90 years, that's for sure. I just asked him, you know, the grandfather was a Litvish Rav in Baltimore long ago. I remember him a little from when I was young. He was already ill then. He came here in the 30s. He used to tell me he came here in 35. So Baltimore had some, you know, real learners, long ago from that generation. Anyway, thank you very much. And now let's take a look at the Haftarah, which of course is the famous one of Eliyahu Bahar Kamo. I keep getting interrupted. Anyway, this is the famous Haftarah of Elijah at Mount Carmel when he has the confrontation with the Nevi Baal. Everybody knows that story. Oh, you should by now. And this takes place during the reign of Achav, who's the wicked king. And I would say that Eliyahu Hanavi, the character of Eliyahu, is that of a religious radical. He goes to radical means, and that was his nature, his teva. And I think that's because the times were very... I got a cough here. The times were very parov. It's interesting, at least in my opinion, because he says to the people, I must say, how long are you going to be standing on two different roads? If you believe in Baal, go for it. If you believe Hashem, go for it. And I said last year, I think, or 2 years ago, that this is such a shocking statement. You know, if you believe in Baal, go for it. That the Targum Yonason refuses to translate it, you know. He gives a completely different interpretation. But let that be. The Hebrew is the Hebrew. And Eliyahu is a radical. He's basically saying like this. Make up your mind. If you're a Shomer Shabbos, then be a Shomer Shabbos. If you're not, heck with it, then you're not. You know, don't go to shul and drive to shul, you know, that way. That's his, temperament, you see. As opposed to a different temperament, which would say, listen, everything you do is good. Obviously, there's always room for people to add to their mitzvah observance, you know. Some people will tell you, I think I told you the story. I was once in Texas somewhere, and I was giving a speech, and afterwards, as happens, you mingle and talk to people and so forth. There's shul kiddush on Shabbos morning after services. And a guy came over to me, I can't remember where, maybe it was in Houston, and a guy came over to me, and we were talking about the speech, and I asked him, I'm being polite, I said, you know, what do you do? And all that, he's an airline steward. That's interesting. Have you been to Baltimore? Yeah, I've been to Baltimore. Where do they put you up, I asked, when you're here? So he said, oh, there's a certain hotel in the Harbor Place, all the way downtown. I said, that's very far away from the Jewish community. How do you get anything to eat? And he looks at me, says, Rabbi, it's about 1 month now that me and my wife resolved, that we're going to keep kosher when we're in Houston. You understand? And I said, that's fine. That's great. You know, every little bit helps. That's not the Eliyahu Hanavi approach. Eliyahu Hanavi would say, I guess, make up your mind, buddy. You're keeping kosher. You're keeping treif. You know, stick with it. And that's the nature of Eliyahu, which because people were able to have both, so, you know, they don't change. That's the way it seems to me. In other words, if you're doing all fine, and like I said before, you like the davening in the shul, you just drive there on Shabbos, and everything goes great, you know, why would you change? It's got to be something drastic or radical happened to shake you up. either shake you up l'tov or shake you up l'ra. And if Eliyahu is saying to the people, don't keep worshiping both Baal and Hashem, that shows you the type of era that it was. And things were kind of pyrav in the theological sense, because as long as you can go to shul on Saturday and go to church on Sunday, and you're a member in good standing in both places, and you like both services, why would you change? You understand? And Eliyahu is the type of guy who says like this, as long as this keeps up, I'm proclaiming a drought. Remember that? In the previous parasha. And people died from the drought. Because he said, I ain't got no time for this post-Kemal Shnei. With one foot, you're walking towards San Francisco, and with the other foot, you're walking towards New York. Those are two different directions. You can't walk both at the same time. That's what he's screaming at the people. Now, that's one often cited example of Eliyahu's religious radicalism. Okay? I know it's funny because today we've made Eliyahu into this figure like the Jewish Santa Claus. You know, he appears to help people out of nowhere. He's a nice guy. And, you know, if somebody's in trouble, Eliyahu, nobody came and saved him and all that kind of stuff. In which Eliyahu is always positive. But in the Tanakh, Eliyahu is usually negative. He's mid as a din. You understand? He'll cuss out the king. He'll tell the others. He'll proclaim a drought. You know, I mean, he's stark. And he doesn't say to Ovadia, oh, I heard it's very nice of you that you're supporting the Nevi'im. He says, go tell Achav, and, you know, I don't care if they kill you. And, you know, Ovadia has to say, hey, take it easy on me. I'm a nice guy. You see, Ovadia is sort of the same thing. On the one hand, he was a Shomer Shabbos. The Gemara Chulin says, from his table, you could eat. He kept kosher. That's why Eliyahu, you know, they knew. What was it later on when the Frum king from the south, Yehoshaphat, came to visit Achav? So Ovadia was in charge of the catering. So he knew you could trust Ovadia. And he risked his life to save the prophets of Hashem in the cave, you know, like it says in this week's parsha. But on the other hand, he's working for like a Jewish Stalin or something like that. I mean, Jezebel and the king are out to kill all the Frum. It seems that way anyway. So it's a strange, you know, so how do you work that out? Then on the one hand, you know, you're from Jew, and the other hand, you're working for somebody that's the opposite of from. Such things have happened, you know. We certainly have had in America a guy who, let's say, for example, was a from Shamus and a Reform Shul or something like that. I mean, I've heard of that. I get that. But that ain't Eliyahu HaNavi. And here's the interesting part if you want to get even more theological. I keep getting interrupted. Listen, here's the thing. You look at Eliyahu's radicalism in a very interesting way, because I'll say it. Because in the Haftarah, you have a dramatic statement, which is not easy to understand. But after the priests of the Baal go and do their thing and nothing happens, you know, they try to bring down the fire and nothing happens, you know the story. So Eliyahu steps up, flexes his muscles. Right? Vayigbalu sa mincha, David mincha, vayigishal nevayamra Hashem elke Avram Yisrael, hayom yivodak elkim, vani avdecha. Today, we're going to prove that you're God. Aneni, Hashem, aneni. Answer me. V'yedu kol amazeh, ki ato Hashem elkim. Let the people know that you are God. V'yato hasibos mazliba acharanis. And you have turned their heart astray. Okay? Now, that's theologically. I'll leave that aside for a second. So what does it mean, you've turned their heart astray? Right? That's quite let's put it this way. Yeah, bechira. Right? You didn't turn the heart astray. Person doesn't have error. They want to worship Baal, which they did at that time and all that stuff. It's their business. What do you mean? Ata hasibos alimcha. You turned their heart astray. It's a hard one. So Rashi, on the story, yeah, Rashi and Sefer Melachim quotes a very interesting medrash, and he says the following. This is a medrash in Parshas Korach. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu often get compared and contrasted in rabbinic literature, in Torah literature. After all, Eliyahu HaNavi and Elisha ain't your average Navis. Most of the Navis you find in Tanakh, especially Nach, either are given some vision of the future by God, Or they have some role to play in terms of telling someone something. They tell a king you're going off to Derech, something like that. No, there's the messenger boys. It's a great honor to be the messenger boy of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. You're a messenger boy. But Eliyahu is a miracle worker, and so is Elisha. There are chapters and chapters in the book of Kings where they talk about all the miracles that were performed by Eliyahu. On the one hand, he revived the dead, for example. He split the river, all kinds of things like that. And they were players in the politics of the kingdom of the north at their time. In fact, their whole Haftarah today has to do with Eliyahu trying to undo Jezebel and make the people come over to his side and see Hashem is the real God, as it says in the last pasuk, "Vayar kol people of Nebuchadnezzar, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim." But not only that, there are certain parts about Eliyahu that are Moses-like, right? And obviously, I'm not the only one said that. If you know the Book of Malachim, you know the stories of Eliyahu, you will perhaps recall that just like Moshe Rabbeinu, Eliyahu had a Har Sinai experience. He went to Har Sinai. It's a whole story. It actually takes place after our Haftorah now. And he goes to the same spot where Moshe was, and he hears the voice of God. I mean, what is that? You understand? And there's a 40-day, 40-night component to it. He's Moses-like. But not only in the sense of having a Har Sinai experience, one of the most interesting parts is that he interpreted his prophetic role in a very daring and activist way. Because we know from Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu and another person that really, 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 a Navi is supposed to be an obedient servant of God. You take orders, you don't give orders, and you don't talk back. No lip. But Moshe gives lip, and so does Eliyahu. How so? It's very famous that when Korach challenges Moshe Rabbeinu and says, "You're a phony, and God didn't tell you all this," Moshe, of course, says, "In kamos kolom yimusanei lelo Hashem shlichoni v'im bria yiv Hashem, potsa damas pia v'yodo haim chayim shola," something like that. That you say I'm a phony, well, I say the ground's going to swallow you up. And if it doesn't, I'm a liar. Right? Right? Lo Hashem Shlokhani. Which is a lie. Hashem Shlokhani. Hashem, you know what I know. Hashem did send him. And there are midrashim on this. Then in Shemayim, they said to Moshe, "Who gave you permission to go and put us, on the line?" You know what I'm saying? It's not like Moshe asked Hashem, "Is it okay if I make the following threat?" And Hashem said, "Yes, I'll back you up." That's one scenario, and I get that. But then you're coordinating with your boss, right? But Moshe didn't do that. He asked no questions. He was so angry and offended by what Korach said on his own. He says, "I declared it's going to be an earthquake. After it's not an earthquake, then I'm a liar. Hashem didn't send me." Which is a way of forcing the Rabbanu Shel Olam to do what you want. If you think about it, he's twisting God's arm. Because if it's not going to be an earthquake, then the mashmos will be lo Hashem shalchani. And then the whole Har Sinai and the Matan Torah and all will be a waste. So by putting it that way, Moshe sort of leveraged his situation in a very clever way so that the employee put the pressure on the employer successfully. Okay? Well, guess what? Eliyahu does the same thing. Because, let me read you the Medrash. It's very interesting. In Korach, in Perek Parshi Yudches, it says, Korach nechlak al Moshe v'yomar. Korach challenged Moshe and said, "Milibo meyatzma amr Moshe called the Ramela." He made the whole thing. Moshe made the whole thing up. All these Taryag mitzvahs and stuff he's giving it, he's full of baloney. He's just saying it on his own. He's claiming God told it to him, which is quite a statement. Pasaf Moshe biyamr fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe said to Hashem, "He mesil amitosin k'der b'nei mesin. If these guys have a natural death as they die in bed, Varov Ma'om Vakrin or something, they'll call Mavakrin, and they, you know, die in an old bed with doctor's visits and all that, like regular people. Afani Kofar Omer, Lo Hashem Shalchani, William Marty. If you do that, if you let them get away, I'm talking to you, Hashem. If you let Korach Vadosa get away with saying that I made up these things, these mitzvahs, right? If you do that, I'll get back at you. And I'll say, you're right, Hashem did not send me, and I made it all up. And that'll undo the whole Torah. Right? Ze echod mishlosh nevi'im shom b'loshan hazeh. There are three navis that talk back to God this way and say, you got to do this and this and this or else. Now, it boggles the mind. In other words, from a high school perspective, how can a human being talk to Hashem and say, you got to do this, that, and the other? Yeah, but the message is not for high school. The message is for regular. People are like people. Ze echad mishlosh nevi'im shom b'loshan hazeh. Eliyahu, Michyahu, and Moshe. I'll get to Michyahu in a second. Where Moshe we just saw. What about Eliyahu? The pasuk I just told you. Elohei Avraham Yitzchak Yisrael Hayom. That's like pasuk Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin. Hayom Yivoda. This Eliyahu standing at Har Carmel in front of the animal he's going to burn after the Nevi'a Bala failed. Hayom Yivoda. Ki Ato Elokim B'Yisrael. Now you're going to see, show everybody that whatever I did, I'm not just a crazy nut, I'm just a radical zombie. I did it at your command. Okay? And he goes on to say, no, he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, answer me. Double Hashem. V'yedom azeki Ato Elokim. So everybody will know, Ato Elokim, Vato Hasibosas Limacharanas. And you turned their heart around, which is a non sequitur. So what's going on? It means, says the Medrash, Im ein ata onosi, if you don't answer me and send down a fire to burn this animal up and prove that I'm a real Navi, Ani Omer Ato Hasibosim Acharanas. Then I'll say, the fact they went off the derech is your fault. You, Hashem, turned them off the derech. Either by, you know, the Ralbag would say they're worshiping the idols and stole the crops work. So that sounds like, you know, you're confirming that the idols are real. That's one way to look at it. Or you can say, you know, you've created the circumstances where there was a breakaway of the kingdom from Shlomo El's son, and now eventually Achav came to power, and Achav married Jezebel, Izebel, and they're bringing in the idols, and they're prospering, and Achav is a powerful king. And so it means, you know, I told you something, you have provided the logic, the grounds for them to assume that Achav is on the right derech with this Baal stuff, Baal Nashira. I told you something, Lomar Charinus. No, I'm threatening you, the way Moshe did, that Achav is claiming it's the Baal. I'm claiming it's Hashem. Achav is saying I'm full of it. I'm a liar. I'm a nut. Remember he said to Elio, you caused the drought. Ata Ocher Yisrael. You don't want to bring catastrophe and call Yisrael. Like it's coming from me. You know? And it's not true. I'm doing this at your command to get the people back on the derech. If you don't do it, then I'm going to tell everybody Hashem made things the way they are. No, it's almost not like your fault. Hashem is causing this breakdown of Judaism. And Hashem is doing it. So then it feels okay. So, well, don't blame me. Hashem made it happen. You understand? So the language is, in lo taneni, afaniye koifer. Then I'll be a koifer. Right? Which means, after hasibos leave macharanis. I'll say, you're the one that pushed them up the derech. Right? So wait a second. And in fact, I'm looking here in the art scroll. It's a Gemara Brachas somewhere. Amar Blazer Elio Hitiach Dvarim Klapimala Shenemar Atay Sibosu Karanis. Hitiach Dvarim Klapimala means he blasphemed. He spoke outrageously to Hashem. Etiach Dvarim Kavma, he threw things at upstairs. Meaning, he said things that were abikursish. And yet, in spite of what I just said, Hashem backed him up. Right? Hashem backed him up. Because the fire came down. So you see, he was a radical. But it's like Moshe Rabbeinu. He had such an intimate relationship with Hashem that he felt like a ben bias. And he can talk that way. And he could. He actually could. So it's remarkable. Who's the third guy? Michiyahu. You have to know a little bit of Tanakh. You will perhaps then possibly recall that one of the prophets is Michiyahu, and he's right now at this time in time of Ahav. And there's a story about these wars that Ahav has with Aram. And Michiyahu comes out to be the prophet over there and reproves Ahav for letting the Hamas escape. There were battles with Syria, Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, Syria. And after a number of miracles, the Syrian army, you know, is busted. And the king of Syria falls in the hands of Ahav, who should kill him. Like Israel today should kill this guy, Sinwar. But instead, you know, they let him go. The Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, made a commercial treaty with him, which was favorable to Ahav. And the Navi blasted him and said, Hashem put him in your hands, you should kill him. Mama sounds like, you know, the war in Gaza now. Anyhow, so subsequently, instead of showing gratitude, the king of Aram gets into a war with Ahav over the Golan Heights, Ramos Gilad. And meanwhile, he invited the king of the south, the Yehoshavet, who was a frum guy. So it's a funny business. You know, it's Achdus, but one's frum and one isn't. Two kings. And he says, let's have a war to conquer Ramos Gilead. And Yehoshavet, who's a frummy, said like this, of course you're going to ask Das Torah first. You know, that's who he was. And Achav said, oh yeah, definitely, yeah, because he needs the help of Yehoshavet and his soldiers. And so he has to pretend like he's from, and they call in all these false prophets. And all the false prophets say, oh, go and fight Aram, you'll definitely win. And this is Be'ela Tanaga Ches Aram. You remember that from the beginning of Bava Kamma. Anyhow, the story goes on. This is all in the Old Testament, my friends. And Yehoshavet, basically, who's a frum guy, says like this, these Navis don't seem, they don't look like the regular Navis I'm used to. Do you have a regular old-fashioned frum looking type of Navi? And, you know, reluctantly, Achav said, okay, let this guy out. Michio had him in jail because he only prophesies bad. And Achav and Yehoshavet, of course, says like this, oh, Chas v'Shalom, don't say a Navi prophesies bad. He just says whatever Hashem told him to. And Achav, like I told you before, needs the help of Yehoshavet. So he has to kiss up to him. So he says, oh, yeah, definitely. And by the time it's over, Michio, when he comes, he says like this, if you go to this battle, you will die. Right? It's a plot on the part of Shamayim to kill Ahav. In other words, I can see as a Navi that there's a name and a date and a place. The name is Ahav and the place is Ramos Gilead, and that's where you're going to get killed. Right? That's where you're going to get killed. It doesn't say those words exactly, but that's the effect of it. And one of the false prophets, because basically, he says the Jewish army is going to be defeated by Aram, which happened. All these false prophets said there'll be a definite victory. Right? And Achav basically says, oh, when I get back, I'm going to punish you. And Michio then says like this, and I'm reading from the Medrash, I mean, Im shov toshu b'shalom, lo dibra Hashem bi. I agree. If you come back from this battle alive, I'm a liar. That's how confident he was that if Achav goes off to battle, he'll get killed. And of course, that's what happened. Right? So what does that mean? Right? Now you have three people, Moshe Rabbeinu, Eliyahu HaNavi, and Michiyahu. We don't know that much about Michiyahu. But you see, the radical nature of Eliyahu, where he basically says like this, I'm going to call everybody to Har Carmel. He didn't ask any questions from Hashem. This was Eliyahu's own project. I'm going to demonstrate to everybody that no fire will swoosh down from the Nevi'i Abal, and yes, fire will swoosh down from the real Nevi'i Hashem. That will get everybody to go and say Hashem Elohim. And you, Hashem, have to back me up. And if you don't back me up, I'll make it bad for you, right? I'll be a kofer, as he says, and I'll say, Atah Hasibosim is Liba Macharanis. You're the one who led their paths astray. So basically, he twisted Hashem's arm, and you and I know that it worked. It worked by Michiyahu, it worked by Moshe Rabbeinu, it worked by Eliyahu. Because what happens after he talks like this? A fire comes and swooshes down and burns his carbon. Everybody's impressed. So in other words, it wasn't what Hashem exactly told him to do. But he's operating, I guess, on his own initiative. One way of looking at a good subordinate is that they use initiative. Another way is to say, you know, don't do anything without asking me. So the question is Rabbeinu Shalom a micromanager? Not on these three occasions, because he backed up Moshe, even though he never told him about the opening the ground for Korach. He backs up Elio, even though Hashem never came up with the idea to swoosh down the fire. And he backs up Michio by getting Achav killed in battle. So sometimes, you know, Novis, with this very interesting relationship with upstairs, and they're not merely messenger boys, which I'll say again, Halavai, I would be a messenger boy from the Rebbeinu Shalom. But they also exercise initiative on their own. And sometimes, like these three, Hashem will back them up. But then it comes out very interesting. If it wasn't Hashem's plan to make the fire swoosh down, so why does Elio do it? He's convinced that this will win the struggle. Now, in the end, Hashem was right and Elio was wrong. Why? Our Haftorah ends, as many do, on a high note. If you continue in the text, in the book of Malachim, you'll see that even after everybody said Hashem Elohim, Jezebel is able to say, tomorrow I'll send somebody to kill you and nobody will stop me, which means this whole business that you just did with the fire swooshing down and everybody saying Hashem Elohim, that's a temporary. It lasts a few minutes. But then when they recover, they'll go back to Baal. And Jezebel was right. Ezebel was right. So in other words, Hashem actually knew what he was doing, it seems to me, when he did not instruct Elio to swoosh down the fire. But Elio was so involved in, so radical, and so emotionally committed, that he thought that this would do the trick. So as you see, Haftorah, at least from my angle, has all kinds of hidden corners of meaning that you wouldn't see just if you read the story one time and you don't look at it. Anyway, take a look. You'll see what I'm talking about. Again, I want to thank Yisrael Markowitz, the response being last Haftorah and today's Haftorah. And I know his parents, Neshamas, and his uncle, who was a very good friend of mine. His uncle, they should all have an Aliyah.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.